of life, a twisted soul where horror doesn't end.
Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Beneath the moonlight, he wanders alone. A solitary figure, a haunting tone. His laughter echoes.
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned.
Everybody be cool. You be cool. Somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Low profile. You understand the meaning of the words? Low profile?
Sure. Two of America's most dangerous criminals have taken hostages.
What is this?
It's called a punch.
I'm going to ask you one question, and all I want is a yes or no answer. Do you want to live through this?
Yes.
Okay, ramblers, let's get rambling.
One night is all that stands between them and freedom.
This is my kind of place.
But it's going to be one hell of a night.
We might be in trouble. There are a bunch of fucking vampires out there trying to get in here and suck our fucking blood.
Now, their only chance is to fight back.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, shit! Harvey Keitel, George Clooney, Quentin Tarantino, Juliette Lewis.
Welcome to slavery.
No thanks. I already had a wife.
From dusk till dawn.
Hello, welcome back to another Gecko Brother Lovin' episode of Guess What You're Wrong. Now, today, actually, before we get into this episode, there's a little bit of housekeeping I got to do. Boy, kind of fell short in October, as there's a lot of people out there that have been emailing me and sending me messages, not hate mail, just supportive concerns, I shall say. You said you were going to do these episodes. Where are they at? Work happens, shit happens, and I guess excuses are like assholes, so I got about 20 excuses, so I got about 20 assholes, I guess. I don't know. Going to work on getting those episodes still out. And this is one of those episodes. I'm joined by a buddy of mine, a brother in shine, shall I say, Jeremy Stewart. How are you doing today, Jeremy?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
Spectaculous, baby. We are actually, this fucking guy here already jumping in here. Damn it, man.
Brian.
We are going back to one of the movies we were supposed to cover in October. Which is actually, I believe it was one that Jeremy had suggested, which actually kind of slipped my mind, which is kind of odd for me because it's got Selma Hayek in it.
Yeah.
From Dusk Till Dawn from, 1996.
Yep.
Dude. Way do you remember when you first saw this movie?
Yeah. It's funny because, back then, I thought it was a great movie. Loved every bit of it. Of course, that was also Quentin Tarantino was starting to put out a lot of stuff, around that time. And everything. And but yeah, you know, at the time, some really good actors in it.
Yeah, I did. Now, this was directed by Robert Rodriguez, who actually plays a part in the movie as well later on, which we'll get into. But written by Robert Kurtzman and Quentin Tarantino, who I read that originally Quentin Tarantino wanted to direct it, but then he said no, he didn't want to. He wanted to concentrate more on the screenplay aspect of it. So he wanted somebody else to come in and direct it for him, so that way he could step back and, you know, let somebody else do that. And this motherfucker, which Gecko brother he played? I can't remember which one he played.
Richard Gecko. The pedophile.
We'll get into that in a second. So this movie has a huge cast.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll go down the cast here real quick. Harvey Keitel. Damn it, man. George Clooney as Seth Gecko. Young Juliette Lewis.
Yep.
Young. Juliette Lewis is, she's a good looking girl. But in this movie, I was kind of like, damn. No, she's not. She's too young.
Yeah, she's young.
Like, damn. And as we mentioned, Quentin Tarantino as Richard Gecko. And the lovely, lovely Thelma Hayek as Santanico Pandemonium. Damn it, man. And Cheech Marin, he plays like four or five parts in this movie or something like that.
He's several people.
God bless him. Danny Trejo. It's always good to see Machete. Tom Savini. Tom Savini is like he's a special effects wizard, and he plays Sex Machine. That little crotch pistol he's got, I could see you wearing something like that.
That's a nifty little device he's got there. Unfortunately, I'm thinking laws of physics. It probably doesn't work.
No, I think. Because that's got to be like 22s,
yeah,
right. Because I think the back kick on that would probably hurt a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, because he had the drums were on the side. I don't know. They wouldn't not drums, yeah, but yeah. Rings or yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he had the revolvers around each side. How is it
feeding through
it wouldn't be able to feed through the barrel.
Yeah. I don't know. It looked kind of cool.
But it was cool looking. It's definitely a cool idea.
Yeah. Fred Williamson as Frost. Now, Fred, he's a bad motherfucker there. You know what previous things Fred Williamson was in?
I do not. I can't remember.
Fred Williamson, wasn't he? Let me click on this real quick. I believe he was. I don't want to say it before I could be wrong. I might be wrong. Maybe I was wrong. Never mind. I was thinking he was. I can't even remember what the hell I was thinking now. Ah, shit. I forgot. Just slipped my head. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm dumb. I can't forget too much liquor, I guess. Not enough, maybe. I don't know. Now, did you see this movie originally when it first came out?
I saw it when it first, I guess, made it to, you know, back then, cable TV. Yeah, that's going back. And everything. And I saw it several times. Now, what's funny is, you know, watching it more recently, there's things I didn't really notice the first time.
Oh, yeah. Now, I remember when this movie first came out, I remember the first time I saw this going into this movie, because this is around the time they had movies that were coming out that were like those criminal movies, you know, where like the Bonnie and Clyde type of movies, you know, where they had the criminals that were going across and doing a bunch of shit. And you were like, hey, yeah, in the end, they end up getting killed. I had no idea that this was a split movie. You know, the first half was it ended up a horror movie. I had no idea that this was coming out. This is what it was.
Yeah.
So when I started watching this movie, I was thinking, oh, we have another, you know, Bonnie and Clyde type of movie. You know, a brothers going out with on a murder spree or whatever. And then that's exactly right. Charmaine, a natural born type of movie. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, Julia Lewis was in that one too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And then when they get to the titty twister, and I was like, yeah, I mean, it's exactly what it was. And then Selma Hayek comes out, and then it turns into this whole vampire thing. And I was like, dude, I had no idea this was going on. This was going to happen. This is awesome. it just completely blew my mind. And it freaked me out. And I because of that, I had to go back and rewatch it. I rewatched it a couple times after that because it just, boom. It just completely blew my mind because of that. And because it completely took me off of guard like that, it's been one of my favorite movies. You know?
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of at least that part when they get to the titty twister bar. It reminds me of how the movies, American Werewolf in London and American Werewolf in Paris. Like in American Werewolf in Paris, when they get into that bar in there and then they get locked inside and then everything just goes chaos.
Yeah. That's so how the movie starts out. You know, they're we're introduced to the Gecko brothers. Are we introduced to the family first, the Fuller family? It goes back and forth.
I think it was the brothers because it kind of shows how he's breaking him out or whatever.
Yeah, and then we go to that scene at the gas station where we find out that Richard Gecko is kind of they have the Gecko brothers. It's a small town. It's like a one little gas station convenience store type of thing. And it's not like a Shell or a Circle K or some shit like that. It's just some small little dinky thing. The sheriff comes in, you know, is talking to the guy like he does, seems like he does every friggin' day. You know, comes in there, gets his coffee or his tea or whatever, grabs some liquor, shooting the shit with the tenant, goes to take a piss. And the Gecko brothers come out and we're like, we told you get rid of this guy now, blah, blah, blah. And at this point here, we see that Richard is like, he signaled to him.
Yeah.
Give him a signal. And you're just like,
he just loses it.
I'm not gonna, you call my brother a liar. Oh, but it's at this point we know that, Richard's a little loose in the fucking melon right there. And then, you know, the cop comes back out, they go back to hiding. He's trying to get rid of him. Out of fucking nowhere, Richard just comes out and shoots him in the head.
Yep. Dude. All about this signal that he's supposedly seeing.
He signaled him. He signaled him. Like, dude. So yeah, it goes, and then we get, and then we see the Gecko brothers are arguing and fighting now, and then it gives this clerk guy. He's got to be in here too. I don't remember his name. He's been. And a bunch of stuff too. John Hawks, he's Pete Bottoms' liquor store clerk. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but we see it gives him enough time to. He's got a gun in a safe, so he gets him enough time to get why he doesn't have the fucking gun on him. He's in. He seems to be in Texas.
Yeah.
Why he doesn't have the gun? You know. He always plays a good creeper. But it gives them a chance to get the gun out, right? He stands up, ends up shooting Richard like right through the hand. Dude, somebody needs to get some gun training because probably would have been a short movie, but you probably could have ended a bunch of stuff right then and there, really.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But yeah, I guess it is what it is. But gunfire ensues. Kid dies. Gecko brothers get away. Seemingly get away. They hole up in a hotel. Fucking duct tape. He's looking at his hand.
Yeah.
This is how any normal
like he's mesmerized by it or something.
Any normal person gets shot in the hand, dude, be freaking out because you got shot through your hand.
Especially a hole as big as he had in his hand.
He's like looking at it, takes the duct tape and just wraps it around. Now, am I thinking, you know, in my old age, I'm thinking, oh, that blood's gonna build up in there and it's gonna fester and it's gonna be disgusting. He's wrapping that fucking duct tape up. Let's go. Kicks back, puts his feet up on the dash, and I'm like, dude, all right. And then we go to the Fuller family now. So, and this is how we're getting, you know, the flashbacks. We meet the Fuller family. We meet who is it? Harvey Keitel, who plays Jacob Fuller, who was a preacher man, you know.
Yep.
Who I guess is kind of
like an ex-preacher or something. Yeah. Had a falling out or whatever in his faith.
Losing his faith a little bit there because I think the death of his wife. Yeah. I think they make reference to that had a lot to do with it. And that comes into play later on, him losing his faith or coming into question with his faith. That comes into play later on. I think it kind of saves who it saves at the end. And then they have Juliette Lewis, who plays Kate Fuller, the daughter. And who was this? Oh, Ernest Liu, Scott Fuller. They never go too much into the dynamics.
Yeah, they don't.
Of that family, because it's obvious. That I mean,
there's some adoption happening somewhere.
Something happened there. Or I mean, because they don't. Did they show pictures of the wife? I don't
think they did.
I don't know. I can't remember. But I made the assumption or the presumption that Juliette Lewis is his natural daughter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Scott is his adopted son. You know, that's what we can take from the movie.
Yeah, that's kind of been my assumption.
Going forward in that. And that comes in, you know, oh, he just. Somebody says something, and this is your son, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
So they're eating breakfast, and they got this huge camper, this huge RV camper, and he's saying, "Well, I want to stop by a motel and sleep in a real bed, for one night." And this is your first hint that there's going to be some kind of a clash between the two factions that we've already met.
Yeah.
You know, the Geckos and the Fuller family, because we know that the Geckos are being holed up at this hotel. And now Harvey Keitel saying that he wants to get a hotel because he wants to sleep in a bed for at least one night because evidently they've been traveling for God knows how long. Right. So, Do they ever say exactly where they're going? I can't remember if they say exactly where they're going or not. They do.
Nah, I can't remember if they do or not. But it you know, does seem like it's across country somewhere.
Yeah, and I don't even remember. Spider-Man here seems to know a lot about this movie here. Do you remember if they ever say exactly where, if they're headed to Mexico? Because it seems to be that that's the direction they were headed anyway, pretty much.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah, I know the Gecko brothers were headed to Mexico, but yeah, I can't remember why the Fuller family was headed that way.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But I know that you know they do get the hotel, you get that motel room there, and of course, you know, Juliette Lewis decides to go swimming. And Harvey Keitel and I'm sorry, Jacob and Scott are left in the hotel room. Richard comes knocking on the door with some spiel, you know, some, we wanted to, me and my lady friend wanted to get some ice, and we don't have an ice bucket. Can we have your ice bucket? And he was all nice and polite. And, you know, it's a typical family cross-country vacation. No real destination mentioned. Yeah, we knew that the Gecko brothers were going down there because they had a specific purpose. They're going to Mexico. They're going to the Titty Twister.
Yeah.
They got all kinds.
Gonna meet one of the Cheeches.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, they opened, Harvey Keitel or Jacob was like, yeah, well, come on in. We'll get you the bucket. And that's the wrong thing to do because then, you know, the other Gecko brother comes in and guns are pointed. And that's when he's like, hey, it's... He's looking at him like, oh, what do you got going on here? Blah, 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 blah. Thinking it's some kind of a man-boy love situation. And I was like, no, that's my son, dude.
Yeah.
We have the same last name kind of deal. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, they're forced into it. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense, actually. What's going on, Jason?
Hey.
At this point, we know that... we're going to have an issue with kind of, because we know that the Fuller family has that big ass RV.
Yep.
We know that the Geckos need to get to Old Mexico, where the tacos are cheap and tasty, but the water is dangerous. Right? So, or some people would say that it's not so dangerous. I don't know who to believe anymore. But then Juliet Lewis comes back. Hold on. We skipped this whole damn part. Rewind this. Hold on. Because there was a part when they were at it before they met up with the Fullers. They had a hostage, a bank attendant. Remember the Gecko brothers had a bank attendant, and they had. Oh, man. She was scared shitless, and she wasn't going to talk to nobody. She was, and then Seth Gecko was like, "I got to go out and make run a few errands. I got to go do a few things. I'll be back in a few minutes. Just keep an eye on her." And Richard is like, "Dude, first of all, you know what your brother's like. Come on,
yeah, he's crazy.
I mean, are you really going to leave? I mean,
yeah." You're going to leave this pervert alone with her and just tell him just to watch her.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the first thing he does is he goes into the bedroom. He turns on a TV and he goes, why don't you come in here and watch some TV with me? He lays down on the bed and scoots over and, you know, pats the little spot on the bed and is like, here you go. Come on. And, you know, and she reluctantly, I mean, she's like, oh, fuck. If I don't, he's going to kill me. If I do, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then when Seth comes back, he's been gone, 2 hours, whatever. He comes back with burgers and everything. You know, he'd been making some phone calls. Evidently, he's calling the people in Mexico and stuff, trying to make arrangements and stuff, presumably. And he's gives, you know, Richard his burger and he's eating one. He's holding the other one. And he's kind of realizing, hold on, I got an extra burger here.
Where's she at?
Where's the woman? Ah, she's in the bedroom. She went in the bedroom. He goes, oh, what's she doing in the bedroom? Opens the door, and you see the look on Seth's face, and they don't show it to us. They show us, like, flashes.
Yeah.
Like a quick flash. You don't get to see everything, and you're just kind of like... And then as he turns around and looks at Richard, you can see the body in the background, and... Yeah. The way that they did this, I think this was fucking genius, because they you don't see Richard do anything. You know that something's going to happen.
Yep.
Because you know the type of person from this up to this point, you realize the type of person that he is, right?
Yep.
Realize he's sicko, that he's got issues and that he's a sexual deviant. And when he comes back, when Seth comes back, and you see the look on his face, and you see those quick flashes. And then when he turns around and looks at Richard, and you see that in the background, you just see a body laying there with blood everywhere. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. That's when you realize that Richard's not only a little out there. Richard's way out there. He's a dangerous psychopath.
Very, very dangerous. And it's just like, and this is where Seth loses it. He's just like, what is it? My fault? What did I do? And this is where he gets in his face, and he's like, he grabs him by the neck and the face, and he's like, this is not okay. You know, whatever you're doing, this is not okay. And this is that part that we missed. And then we can fast forward again. So now we really know what type of a sicko Richard is. Yep. And now we fast forward back to they're in the room with the Fuller family when Juliette Lewis comes back in. She's in her bikini from swimming with the towel wrapped around her waist. When Richard starts looking at her like,
and he has those weird visions or daydreams or whatever of what people are saying to him that actually aren't happening.
What is the vision he has with her is like,
She says, will you eat my, that's actually in the RV later on. I can't remember what she says.
In this one, I think she says something like, would you eat my pussy or something like that?
Yeah. And she says that in the RV too.
Well, in the RV, he says, well, you know, if you really want to, if you're serious about that.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, yeah, of course I was. And then he's like, well, yeah, what? You know, and he's seeing it, but she's like, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, dude.
Yeah, he's a crazy one.
Yeah. So it's, she goes in there, she gets changed. They get in the RV, going to sneak him across the border. Because that's the plan. Well, you know, Jacob is just like, okay, let's just get it done. Let's get it over with. As they're driving at one point here, Seth does tell Jacob, you saw how Richard was looking at your daughter, right? And Jacob's like, yeah, and I didn't like it. Yep. So, yeah, you get us across the border, and I'll make sure he doesn't touch her. Okay? And I was like, that's a pretty good deal. Let's get your ass across the border. You can get that guy away from my daughter kind of deal. Because, obviously, I think as the Shining Man was saying, they saw him on TV, so they know who they are. You know, it's like, let's just get the guys, get him out of here. You know, this movie, dude, even up to this point, and this is why nothing horrific. I mean, it's horrific what's happened up to this point, but it's not like a horror movie.
Right.
Up to this point, you know.
Yeah, it's just it's just a criminal getaway at this point.
Yeah. It's just weird. And then this is when we get to the border. This is the first time we see Cheech. The first time. As the border agent there. Fucking Cheech. Cheech like Peach. Why is this Sam offline? Why not? I didn't choose Twitch. Well. Got to choose Twitch. I guess the Twitchers aren't going to get the live. I'll post it later. But, so we see Cheech, you know, they have this whole thing. Jacob's like, no, we'll get past there. Scott's like, no, we should tell him. We should tell him. And I'm like, dude, if at any time, kid, you should listen to your dad and shut the fuck up.
That's right.
You know, shut up and listen to your dad, you know, so he can get you through. You guys can get across the border and everything will be okay. But, you know, there is Jacob has a little issue with, they ask him, they say, Well, who are you coming across the border with? It's just me and my son, you know, and then he asked him some questions. He answered some questions and he hears a noise in the back. Oh, well, who's that? My daughter. Oh, that's just my daughter. And, well, I thought you said it was just you and your son. Oh, yeah, it's just my daughter, too. And they, well, we're going to have to come inside. We're going to check it out. Okay, well, shit. You know, so he wasn't prepared for that. If you could, if he would have said initially, well, it's me and my son and my daughter's in the back taking a shit, something like that, you know, then they would have been, oh, well, she's back there. And she could have came forward and been like, hi, something like that.
Yeah, everything would have been fine.
Yeah. But they get, they slide by this, you know, because they come in, they work at, I don't know. He ends up, Richard is starting to go, oh, you're calling me, you're saying that I'm this, you're saying that I'm that. He's starting to get frantic.
Yeah.
And Seth ends up just knocking him out.
Yeah, Seth gets, just knocks him right out. Yeah. He's freaking getting ready to lose it.
He is. And then Seth hides somewhere. I don't know where he hides. But then, so that way when Cheech goes in there and looks, it's just, you know, Kate is just sitting on the toilet.
They were hiding. He had them like hiding up in the little shower or something while she was sitting on the toilet or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she's sitting down and she's like, excuse me.
Yep.
And Cheech does one of those, you know, yeah, kind of things. And okay. Go ahead. Let's him on through. Then of course, when Richard wakes up and his glasses are fucking broken, he's like, what happened? Oh, you fell down, dude. You fell down, whatever he tells him. I was like, okay. Fuck, all right. So then they're all excited. They fucking make it across the border. Woo. Made it across the border. We see this bar that they're coming to, the Titty Twister. You see it in the distance. Big neon sign, Titty Twister. Now, you know, when they show this movie on TV, it's called the Kitty Twister.
Oh.
They change it to the Kitty Twister, not the Titty Twister. Just so you know. In case you didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's bars for truckers and bikers only.
Yeah.
Bars, truckers, bikers, and only. And then, you know, they got all kinds of
see Cheech again.
Yeah. We got pussy. We got pink pussy. We got stinky pussy. We got young pussy.
We got cat pussy. We got dog pussy. We got every kind of pussy you need.
That was hilarious. I think that's one of the best parts. Here. And he does. He looks right at the camera one time, too. And he's like, we got it. And he's just like, dude, that's hilarious. But then, of course, you know, the Gecko brothers and the Fullers come up to come inside. And of course, Seth has got to be a dick and punch him in the face or whatever it does. And then Richard turns around and kicks him. Like, oh, fuck, dumbasses. So they go into the bar. And it's like, you're like, looking around, you're like, what kind of bar is this in the middle of the fucking desert? What the fuck, you know? And it seems decent enough. I mean, if I was in the middle of the desert and I'm a truck driver or a biker, I'd be like, man, kind of a titty bar I might go to like that. And, you know, that's kind of cool.
As many people that were in there, I mean, that was the happening place around there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it can't be too far from civilization, or it didn't seem, I mean, because that place was fucking packed.
Yeah.
You know, well, it turns out that I don't know how many actual truck drivers and bikers that were actually in there. Tito and the Tarantulas, we'll get to that here in a second. They go up to the bar to order some drinks and they said, nah, there's bars for bikers and truckers only. Get the fuck out. And that's where Jacob comes up and he's like, you see that rig out there? Right off the bat, I'm like, yeah, because there's all kinds of fucking windows in here. I'm sure he can see your rig. You got outside, buddy. But yeah, he has that big RV, and yeah, he has to have, you know, the same kind of
he's got to have the CDL for it,
and same kind of licensing if you're driving a truck. So, well, technically, I am a truck driver, so give me a drink. Blah blah blah. It was okay. Serves him up. Didn't say he could have saved their lives if he would have said, "Ah, well, fuck it. I guess we got to leave." But no, he didn't.
Yeah, or because they're in there right there, he could have just, you know, he could have said, "Hey, these people are trying to kidnap me and my family."
Yeah.
Of course, obviously, as we find out later on, they wouldn't have let him leave anyway. But
yeah. But so they end up drinking. They grab a bottle of whiskey. They sit down at a table. You know, little Scott and little Kate start doing shots of whiskey. Richard is fucking Richard. But wackadoo. And this is when they introduce the tentacle pandemonium. Pandemonium. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, summer high. My gosh. This woman, I mean, she is. I think I was reading somewhere in the trivia here that they had originally, it was. I remember that what the name of that character originally was. It was like Blonde Heat or Blonde Death or something like that. Originally, it was supposed to be a blonde, bodacious woman. But then when they saw Selma Hayek playing Desperado, they were like, "No, we're changing the whole fucking character. We want her in there."
Yep.
I was like, yeah, that's pretty fucking good idea.
Yeah, she's a much better character for that part anyway.
Oh, yeah. Especially being in Mexico. Why are you going to have some blonde, big titty woman in Mexico?
And pretty much everybody else that works in there is Mexican. So
yeah.
Why would you have some blonde chick all of a sudden out of nowhere?
Yeah, it makes more sense that, man, unless you're going to build a huge backstory.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Scandinavians came down and brought vampires.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that in part 2, 3, or 4 because they all sucked.
Yeah.
And the series was no good. But we'll get to that as well. But this is, yeah, I mean, Selma Hayek comes out. Now, she also has a fear of snakes. And this whole dance that she did was not choreographed. They just told her, do what you got to do with that snake, you know, and she did. And what she did was hot.
Yep.
It was capital H-O-T, baby. I'm telling you, I was like,
she served her part well.
Oh, yeah. Especially when she puts her foot and sticks into Richard's mouth and pours the whiskey down her leg. Dude.
But especially Richard.
I was like, man. It was hot, dude. It was awesome. And then, yeah, I mean, this whole time, you know, like Gordon mentioned, what's going on, Katie Parker? Gordon mentioned the band Tito and the Tarantulas. The lead singer of that band is who? Richard Rodriguez.
Yeah.
No, is it Richard? Yeah, Robert.
Yeah.
Richard. Robert Rodriguez. Yep. And the drummer of that band. This drummer from Oingo Boingo.
Okay.
You know, Danny Elfman's band from the 80s. Yep. It's the Dead Men's Party. Ooh, I'm aging myself now. Yes, I'm a child of the 80s. So what? Tito and the Tarantulas is fucking awesome. Excellent band. Excellent. And it's also at this point that Peach comes in from outside.
Yeah, the other bouncers.
Yeah. Them right there. That one kicked me and that one punched me. And they're like, oh, how many are there? Oh, we can take them, blah, blah, blah. And we still don't know anything about vampires at this point. We're just like, oh, fuck. They're about to get their ass kicked.
And they stab old Richard right through the hand.
And that's what comes in.
His early other hand.
When I said that Did they stab him in the other hand? Or I thought it was the same hand.
I thought it was the other hand.
Ah, shit. Maybe it was. Because I thought it was that same hand when he taped it up and he sealed in all that blood and they punctured that thing and all that blood popped. I thought it was that same I don't even know. I have to rewatch it. But yeah, shit ensues. Stabbing.
Hell breaks loose.
Fighting, yeah. And then this is when it turns into the horror movie.
Yeah. Because the blood's flowing and gets them going.
The blood starts flying, and you know what happens when you get blood around vampires. They fucking get hungry. And they turn ugly. And Selma Hayek turned real fucking ugly.
Yeah.
Bad, because she's hot, but she got real ugly real fast.
Yeah. And then the band completely changes too. That was one of the parts that I totally forgot about from the first time I saw it. When they the guitar players up there playing a human.
Yeah. All their instruments are all human body parts.
Pieces of humans.
Oh my gosh, that was hilarious. I mean, and the rest, I mean, we have a huge battle now. Oh, it's the same shot hand. Okay, yeah, there you go.
Oh, God.
See, this guy knows the fucking movie here. Shit. So, it was a battle ensues. You know, we have vampires, and, you know, this is when Sex Machine with his crotch pistols, I guess you could say, come out, and Fred Williamson and Danny Trejo, and, you know, they're all battling together, and they're all killing vampires left and right, and it's just going back and forth. And it comes to a point here. Who was the first one? Was it Danny Trejo? Was he the first one of the big guys like that got? I can't remember if it was Danny Trejo or if it was Fred.
Yeah, I thought. I thought they killed Cheech first.
Yeah,
look out. Yeah, and then I thought it was Danny Trejo. I don't think they don't ever kill Selma Hayek though, do they? Because she isn't she like the queen that lives on or something?
Well, they kill her. Yeah, she gets killed.
Oh, okay.
They stab her through the heart with a stake, and she in the flames and ash and goes away.
That's right. Yeah.
But then, you know, little by little, because Danny Trejo, Fred Williamson, and Tom Savini are like our big, you know, the big hero type people. Then you have the Gecko brothers, you have the Fuller family. Those are basically the main people that are fighting against all these vampires.
Yep.
They're killing most of them. I know that Danny Trejo gets turned. Fred Williamson gets turned. Tom Savini, I believe he's the last. I think he's the last one that got bit.
Yeah. He is. Yep. Yeah.
But when they change, dude,
they're not like, hideous.
Yeah, they're like monstrous vampires. They're not like these, you know, pretty romantic vampires. They're like fucking monstrous looking.
Yeah. Big old gigantic jaws.
Yeah.
Fangs.
Yeah, Cheech and Trejo go vamp. Yeah.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, the whole thing is just fucking going on. And there's a point here where Seth tells Jacob, you know what? You need to find your faith. This could be the only thing that's going to fucking save us, is if you find your faith. You need to figure it out and do it fast, because we need you. Because they figure out that the crosses aren't really working if it's not something that you believe in, really, you know?
Yeah, because they had gotten in a conversation about that at the table, right? When Seth asked him, he said, you have to have a shot with me or a drink with me. And so that was how, they got to talking about him losing his faith and stuff. Yep. And then during the battle, when they get locked themselves in that room or whatever, and they're trying to come after him. And Seth's like, you gotta get back in it, man.
Yep. Figure it out. This is how this happens now. We're coming toward the end. I know that Richard gets turned.
Yep.
And
well, he knows he has to fight or something quickly because he's getting ready to go.
Yeah. And well, they all get killed. I mean, you know, all of them. I mean,
Richard's gone at that point. Yeah.
And then we have Scott. It's bit Jacob. Yeah. Surprisingly,
Jacob's the one that has to do that, that realizes he has to fight back.
Yeah.
Before he turns.
Yeah. And it was surprising. You're like, oh man, not Jacob was, come on, man. You're like, he's got to be the guy that is going to save him.
Yeah. That's what you think.
Yeah. They board the bar and that's when Sex Machine gets bit. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Black of that. The Fred Williamson was black. Yeah.
Fred Williamson gets that huge jaw and big old jaws.
A big old mandible comes out. And it's just like, and it's got the big old head and the shoulders all that. And you're like, damn, dude. Sex Machine was kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
I liked it.
He was funny.
He was. And I'm going to get one of them crotch pistols.
Yeah. That's the thing. There's definitely a way to make it work. It's just it wouldn't work the way they were trying to make it work.
Yeah. It probably kind of hurt, too, a little bit, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, like you said, it'd have to be a smaller caliber because a bigger caliber could be a little bit
painful.
You might not want to fire that more than once.
That's going to hurt. That's really going to hurt. You know, but in the end, you know, we're left with Seth and Kate.
Yep.
They end up breaking out. Basically, they realize it's daylight. They start breaking out windows. Daylight saves them.
Yep.
They
meet up with Cheech again.
they meet up with the Gecko Brothers contact, who is Cheech once again. This motherfucker.
And old Seth's just going off on him about what the hell kind of place did you have?
Hey, it's open all the time. It's open from dusk till dawn.
I thought it'd be a good place.
But then, you know, Kate's like, you need some company. I mean, I got no place to fucking go. Her flame is dead.
Yeah. But yeah, like Seth was telling Cheech, you know, got my brother killed, got her entire family killed.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Seth's like, here, I don't know, I'll give her like, what, I don't know, $20,000, whatever he gives her. No, here, RV's yours. Get the fuck out.
Yep.
Kind of deal. What the fuck is she supposed to do? Here's a wad of cash. Get the RV. Go find a life.
Yep.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, when she like 15 years old.
I don't know where he's going, actually. I mean, but maybe he should have taken her with her. I don't know.
Yeah, especially because they are in Mexico and all. Leaving her off by herself might not be the best way.
Yeah, but I mean, he is a criminal. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. But he did say he was a thief. And he killed people that got in his way or was something, but that was it.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, he had morals for a thief, I guess. I don't know. Could have helped her out a little bit more, in my opinion. But, and then, you know, in the final scene, as they pan back from the titty twister, and, you know, they pan back, you see that it's actually an old Mexican ruins.
Yeah,
it is what this is, and it pans back, and you see it's like an old Mayan or Aztec pyramid.
Yeah, pyramid,
and it goes all the way down the side of the mountain. And there's like, look, there's trucks, semi trucks, and old cars from like hundreds of years just piled down at the bottom of this mountain down there. Like, damn, dude, they've been there for this long, and it took the geckos and the fullers to come here and destroy their shit.
Well, and that's the thing is I kind of also took that as it kind of also is leading you to believe that there will be another one coming. And but to your point, the ones that came after, yeah, not so great.
Yeah, the this movie here. Now, first, before we go any further, what I like to do at this point is say whether or not I like the movie. And yes, this movie, I love this movie. I'll watch it again. I'll probably watch it again here in a few days. because there's some, after discussing a movie, there's parts that I started thinking about. I'm like, I want to see if I was right about that. I'll go back and rewatch it like that. So for me, it's definitely one I'll keep watching, and it's definitely one that I recommend. What about you? Something you like?
Yeah. I think it's definitely worth watching. It, you definitely have to get yourself in the mindset of, obviously it's a movie, so you got to kind of throw physics and reality out the window. but it is definitely entertaining and sometimes kind of interesting to try to figure out which way they're going to take something, because obviously any movie that involves Quentin Tarantino is going to be a little bit weird.
Yeah. And it is from 1998 as well. So keep that in mind. The special effects, it's dated. It's the CGI and everything in that is, it's from 1998. So when you, or I'm sorry, 1996.
Yep.
So when you go into this watching it, keep that in mind as well. I think it's a great movie though. And the sequels, I think when part two came out of this, though, it wasn't really a sequel. I think the part two was supposed to be like a prequel, though. I just don't think it did it. It was supposed to be centered around Selma Hayek's character, mm-hmm. I believe, wasn't it?
I think it kind of showed how it really got going, but I think what made the first movie so good was one, well-written screenplay, but also they had great actors. And, then when they start moving into the ones after that, the acting is not quite where it should be.
Yeah, they did. You could definitely tell that they didn't put as much into the sequels as they did with this first one. Which I think, especially with the story of Santanico Pandemonium, Selma Hayek's character, I think they could have definitely put a lot more into that, her storyline. I think people would have bought that. People would have looked at what would have wanted to buy into that and see that if they would have put more into that, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because clearly she was supposed to be like the queen of them or whatever, but they don't ever really give you a whole lot of that.
Yeah, they don't go into it hardly at all with that. And I think that was a loss on their part here. I'm sure that they were as well. And I think that the series, I remember watching the series. It was on TV, but I don't remember anything about it. So, I mean, that could be because I'm old and I forget shit. I don't know. It could be because it sucked. It probably sucked, but I don't know. Did you ever watch any of the series?
I didn't.
Yeah. I don't think you're probably missing anything, really. I don't know. I may end up rewatching all these things here again, just to see if I remember correctly. I don't know. We'll see. I believe they even made a part three of the movie.
I think they may have even gone into a fourth one. It seems like they made several of them after the first one, but they all were just kind of worse than the one prior to it. Each one got worse and worse.
Let's see here. They got From Dusk Till Dawn, the series. From Dusk Till Dawn 2, Texas Blood Money. I can't see nothing else. All that's showing me is that in the series. I thought they did at least a 3 and a 4, maybe.
Yeah, I thought there was 4 of them.
There's a 3. There's one here called Dusk Till Dawn 3, The Hangman's Daughter.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll watch them again someday. Who knows? Maybe not. But that's it, brother. That's all I got.
Yeah, man. It was definitely worth watching. Definitely got some parts there that are very funny and stuff. And you know, of course, any movie that's got Cheech in it, you know, there's got to be something good to watch about it.
Absolutely. And you got some behind it too, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just I mean, it's worth watching just for that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's all I got. And are you doing anything in particular out there? You got anything going on?
Nah, man, just kicking around. Actually, I'm going to go out and see the Parkers tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You should tell them I said hi. I see them all the time on the lives.
Yeah, definitely, man. But other than that, man, just kind of kicking around and get ready for Turkey Day next weekend. I mean, well, next week.
I got to deep fry a turkey.
First time I've ever done it. Oh, deep fried turkey's good, man.
Never done it before, so we'll see if I mess it up.
Yeah, just make sure you give yourself plenty of room away from flammable things.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it way out, like 100 yards away.
Yeah, man. That still, man, that I built, man, that latest one, that thing, it works good, man. There's a couple of things on it that I, if I was doing it again, I might change. But overall, it works pretty good.
Nice.
I've built accessories. I've built thumpers and worms and all that stuff. But that was the first time I've ever built a pot completely out of copper.
How many gallons is it?
It's only a 5 gallon. I just wanted to see if I could do it. I figured if I could do that one at 5 gallons, then I could pretty much scale it up to anything.
Look at you.
It's a fun little project. It was kind of, I looked at it as my recovery project after surgery, just to see if I could do it.
Yeah. That went good though. Your surgery and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Good now. So that's good.
Yeah. It's healed up pretty good. I'm pretty much back to eating whatever I want and stuff like that. But, nice. Yeah. And supposedly my, pathology now is clear. So, nice. I got a scan that I got to do in December, and as long as that's clear, they say that I should be good to go.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it is, man. It's been a rough year doing all this nonsense, man. I'm ready to kind of let that go and move on.
Yeah. drink some more.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's it, brother. I'm going to head out.
All right.
Man. For everybody out there, have a good night.
All right.
Sleep well.
Have a good one, brother.
And chicken grease, baby. Oh, you know what? I forgot I got an outro, don't I? Yes, I do.
He watches the monsters, the ghouls, the dead. His heart beats faster, his mind is fed. With blood and gore and screams of fear. A world of darkness he holds so dear.
And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
His laughter echoes a sinister sound as he dances with shadows on haunted ground. Hornstein, a chilly name, lost in shedding sight. Lost in the movies, from dust to light. Sipping shine is an actor of life, a twisted soul where horror doesn't end.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.